Guess what? We are here again for the One Small Change podcast. And I am so glad that you are here with me for this journey of exploration and transformation for all of us. And one of the things, if you've never been here before, I am your host, Yvonne McCoy, and I bring almost 30 years of entrepreneurial experience. And I have a passion for discovering growth through the power of seemingly small changes. And today, I want to introduce you to someone that I have worked with before, who I always love talking to, who is amazingly innovative, Jeff Griffith. Jeff,
Yes.
thank you for spending time with me and my audience today. It is always a pleasure. You always make me smile and make me go, "Ooh, I never thought of that."
Well, thanks for having me, Juan. It's great to reconnect again.
So we're going to talk about, what kind of small change you had. And we before this, we said there never is just one change, but
No.
there can be a change that surprises you in the impact that it has. And for those of you that know me, I have a dog. And for whatever reason this week, she's decided that she has to hang out close to me. And I shut her out. So she's barking. So sorry about that, Jeff. But
No
it's
worries.
real life. So tell us about what you do and your story and what the small change is.
Okay, so I'm I guess a management consultant professionally now for 25 years. With a focus on competency-based workforce and organizational development. And that covers a lot of different things. I refer to myself all the time as a competency geek because it's what I do, it's what I live, it's what I think. And I've recently, in addition to the consulting work, I'm now a policy wonk, took on a job working with a public policy think tank. Back in April. So that's a different aspect of the same things around competency, helping organizations improve. And then on the macro side, trying to look at pragmatic policy changes that actually improve outcomes in the economy for my region of the country here. So that's kind of fun. And that keeps me pretty busy.
The thing that I know is some of this sounds like, I'm an entrepreneur. This has nothing to do with me. But I think that that's one of the mistakes entrepreneurs make is that you're actually building a company. And so, you start your business typically, at least this is my experience, that you start your business so that you can do what you love to do without giving the business perspective much thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And so tell me how you think some of the things, what was the one small change specifically that, that as entrepreneurs we need to know about or should
Well,
think about?
I think, I mean, what's the one small change for me? When my business started becoming a business, which is a few years ago now, the biggest change for me was daily journaling. That's a really small change, and it doesn't sound like much, and doesn't sound like it has anything to do with actually running a business. But getting into that first thing in the morning journaling practice, starting the day by getting all the crap out of my head. Getting some clarity, laying out my specific things that I wanted to accomplish that day, gave me a chance to really catapult my business forward. So that was about 7 years ago. And we've had some pretty big wins since then. We've done some really interesting work across the country and internationally. But I still have to go back to what was the thing that started it. I think it was the daily journaling is where it really began. As far as, thinking about a business and that, I mean, my world is in competency, finding the right people, putting them in the right chairs and everything else. And as an entrepreneur, I mean, you live in your own head a lot. And that's great. But if you want to have scale and you want to have impact at some point in the future, you'll need to engage with other people. You'll need other people involved in your business, either as contractors, outsourced or full-on employees. And knowing who you want and understanding the competencies that you require, really, really focusing on that allows you to scale your business faster, cheaper, make fewer mistakes, which for small businesses are often fatal, and really focus on what I think matters, which is the people side of the business as opposed to the technology side of the business.
Well, you've said two things that to me are interesting, okay? One of the things that I like to do is I like to look at patterns. The way that I think of it is it's kind of if you're at the shore and you know when the waves are coming, you know when to jump, so you can avoid being knocked down. And so if you know patterns that most people go through in their business, you can, as a coach, and a consultant, I can help them to avoid that. And one pattern that I see is that entrepreneurs were really good at doing what we do, right? Yep. And so we get much better at managing a project or managing a thing, right? But we do not spend enough time in developing ourselves as leaders and people. And I think the journaling that you're talking about probably helps with that. Would I be correct?
Yeah, for me, when you do that brain dump in the morning and get all the junk out of your head and start making connections between things and start thinking about, well, why am I thinking this? Right? Why am I doing this? Or even rehashing what happened yesterday or rehashing at the end of the day. I did X. What was I thinking? Right? Why did I do that? And I think in many cases, that kind of self-reflection and self-learning, it increases your empathy. It helps you understand your customers better and figure out why they're doing some of the crazy, stupid things that they tend to do. It helps you do a better job of communicating with other people because you can only do that if you understand yourself. It's helped me become a lot more empathetic person, which makes me a better consultant, a better coach, and better able to help people along a journey without, picking them up and carrying them, right? As somebody described it to me as our job. I think we probably went through this with some of the work we did in the past, but our job is we're not the heroes in the story, right? The client is the hero. They're Luke Skywalker. We're Yoda or Obi-Wan or something. Our job is to be there as a supporting character and lead them along a pathway, but they're the hero. It's their story. And I found, again, the journaling for me was something that really helped me understand that and become much better at relating to people on that scale.
And I think you said something that, if you say some of us tend to be not, I won't say elevated, but, we think of things like introspection, as being a little bit, but I think one of the things that I think doing a brain dump on a regular basis, whether you do it every day, which would mean you'd have less to dump, hopefully, than if you just do it once a month. You have to clear your brain in order to, brain dumping does a couple of things. One is it clears my brain and it gives me space for new things. There's two, that. It lets me focus and prioritize and focus. When I put it all down, I go, oh my God, there's no way I can do all of this. So what's really important to me, whatever that, it's what I call the 5 R's. It's doing it doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason, the right way, and what's right for me, to prioritize all the things that we're doing. And I think that the world we live in is moving faster than ever. And so that means that you need to be able to innovate and create and stuff. And you have to have space in your brain to do that. And it gives you a chance to prioritize. But here's the other thing that I want to ask you, which was about 4 paragraphs ago. you talked a lot about competency and training and stuff like that. And I know that as entrepreneurs, a lot of times we do not have a system for that. And one of the things that you and I connected so well on is that one of the uphill fights I had with, you know, some of my executive directors and stuff is getting them to say, to look at what the role was they were trying to fill, as opposed to saying, I like this person, I'm going to make them fit into this thing. So can you tell me more about that and why it's important to look at what you need before you hire family, friends, the person the universe brought you, or whatever, you know?
Well, I think that, I mean, I'm a big fan of gut feeling, right? And I know and entrepreneurs tend to run on their guts. That being said, the cost of a bad hire can be fatal. The cost of a hire for a small business is significantly higher per head than it is for a larger business, simply because of scale. Fitting the right person based on what you need them to do, as opposed to, I mean, they need to fit within the culture of the organization as well, but you start with table stakes around what is it technically that they need to be able to do. And I think the mistake that a lot of people make as entrepreneurs, and I certainly made it when we were starting the company, is you tend to go around looking for what John Ankeny, you know, John, he kept hiring mini-me's. He was out there looking for a clone of John Ankeny. And that wasn't working for him. And he wound up hiring a lot of people who he wound up having to fire, which is tragic and it's never fun, and wasted a lot of time and effort and money. And I actually worked with John, walked him through an exercise that I'll provide to your listeners. A couple of phone calls with John, and then he went out and hired somebody based on the competencies and the technical pieces of what he was really looking for, hired the right person, and 3 months later had to hire two more people because that's how big his business has grown as a result of it. So the scale that comes from a competency-based approach is it's huge, certainly early days in a business. The other thing I think is really important is that by focusing on competency, you cannot do competency-based hiring without automatically opening yourself up to a much more diverse work pool, because you're not looking at people who are just like you anymore. You're looking at people who can do very specific things, and ideally people that can do things that you can't do, right? Or that you don't particularly like to do or do particularly well. So I think the competency-based approach automatically makes your business stronger. It automatically makes your business more diverse, and it opens you up to the possibility of pretty significant growth in a hurry, which I think is great.
I can think of about five different threads that I can pull out of that. So the first thing that I want to talk to you about is the mini-me syndrome.
Yes.
Which I see over and over and over again. And, you know, the way that I describe it, I'll see if you have a different way to describe. The way that I describe it is, when you do a mini-me hire, it means your strengths are way out of proportion and your weaknesses are huge. I mean, it's like you amplify all the good and the bad, and they both become, you know, a problem because you're so out of kilter, right?
Yep.
But I want you...
Go ahead.
No, I'll let you talk.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
The second thing is that I think there's a difference between investing the time to train somebody to do something and trying to change the job to fit what that person can do. Mm-hmm. And so one of the other traps that I find people get caught in, especially entrepreneurs, is I could have done it faster myself. Mm-hmm. So how do you, you know, address that in the whole competency thing?
Again, it starts with mapping out what you need done, right? And a lot of, again, we go back to the beginning here with journaling. Like, what am I really good at? Like the sort of introspection. What should I be doing? What is it that I can put into the business that no one else can put into the business? And that's not emptying the waste baskets because somebody else can do that. There's an awful lot of stuff, right? Especially as a solopreneur, that you don't, it's not stuff that you have to do other than the fact that you've got nobody else to do it. Systematizing that stuff makes it easier to hand off and give to somebody else. And the cool thing I found with entrepreneurs is it's the stuff that can't be systematized that tends to be your area of unique brilliance. That tends to be the stuff that only you can do because it's not something that's that's got a step-by-step process to it yet. So keep those for yourself, but recognize that there's other things in the business that can be systematized, can be trained to somebody else. And yeah, it's a pain and it takes time to do that, but you only have to do it once, right?
And
that's an investment.
And it's one of the things, you know, one of the systems that I talk about is, you know, what is the purpose of what needs to be done, right? Then what are the procedures and systems to get it done? Then I can train, then I know what skills a person needs and what I need to train them on. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to increase my profit because I can get things done faster. But here's the piece that I think, again, that people miss is if you bring in the right person based on the competencies that sure. you're looking for, and not just like we get along, you know, mm-hmm. Make sure that you actually use what their gifts and skills are. What I find is in smaller businesses where there's what I call it's a personality driven organization because mm-hmm. you can pick a good person and then you can micromanage them in a mediocrity. You never, you know, if you pick a good person, that person should be able to say when you're laying something out or reviewing this, you know, procedures and stuff, they should be able to say to you, there's a much easier way to do this, or you could put this in and you wouldn't have to deal with this again. Mm-hmm. And too often we don't listen to that. Yeah. You know, you're bringing them in for the expertise that they have, which is hopefully expertise you are weak in, and then you don't listen to them, which just makes me nuts. I'm sorry, that's a personal peeve.
No, but I think you're absolutely right, Yvonne. and again, we see it all the time. There's a lot of smaller organizations, they're still owner-led. The owner's used to being the smartest person in the room because at the beginning of their career, they were the only person in the room, right? And it's easy to be the smartest person in the room when there's no one else there. As you start trying to expand, as you start trying to scale, bringing in the right people, apparently you hired them because they were smart. The idea is to give them enough leash and let them be brilliant and let them surprise you. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. It makes you feel vulnerable. It makes you feel like you're going to lose control. But the reality is that you gain control by losing control. So you can lose control of the routine because other people can figure that out. Or there's processes, procedures for that. And that gives you room to get your head up out of the trench, look down and see what's coming, mm-hmm. which is your job because you're supposed to be strategic. And it's really hard to be strategic when you're, you know, you got your head buried underground. So it's hard. You have to fight the tendency to want to show everybody how to do everything. Right. And that's absolutely the biggest problem that an entrepreneur or a solopreneur has in scaling is getting out of people's way.
So you said that there are systems for letting go. Can you give me an example of that?
Well, I think the like for anything that's routine, anything that you have to do more than twice can be systematized, right? So you have order filling processes. Ideally, you follow a process for doing that every time. That can be systematized and handed off to somebody else. Sales, onboarding of a new client, often those are systematized processes. You document what you do, you document it, and not to the, micro level of granularity. The key tasks that need to be performed and performed well, document what they are, document what doing it right looks like in terms of standards, and then hold people accountable to maintain the standards. And there's so much work, even when you start trying to hand things off, I don't know if I'm answering the question or not, but there's a tendency to say, give people what the, every single step, as opposed to here's the result I want. And here are the critical pieces that make up that result. Everything else is a black box. I don't care, right? What I care about is that it get done. As long as it's done and critical pieces are established, that takes time and effort for someone to actually think about. The beauty of hiring someone who already has a certain level of expertise is in many cases, they can tell you what the system should be, right? And the reason you don't have a system is because you're not smart enough to develop it, or it's not your area of particular expertise. So you bring in someone who already has that, let them build the system for you, and adopt their system as opposed to the other way around.
So there are two things that I heard somebody say this once as a suggestion, which I thought was great, because we were talking about how do you standardize stuff, mm-hmm. And, I know that entrepreneurs can be impatient for us to sit down and try to write things step by step when we've got other things that we want to be doing and could be doing, right? Mm-hmm. And so the suggestion this person had, when we were talking about this is she goes, I think I'm just going to have the person shadow me mm-hmm. and write the procedures down as I'm doing it. And then that way they can look at what I'm doing and things that I don't recognize need to be a step. They will see, they're like, why are you doing this? Why did mm-hmm. you put this here? Why, and I thought this is a great way to do this, to have yep. somebody else have fresh eyes on what you're doing, have input in what's being done, be open to their suggestions about better ways to do it. And when you're finished, you've got something better than when you started with. And then I think the piece, go ahead.
No, I'm agreeing with you again.
And then I think the piece that we forget is, I think you have to say, all right, let's do the first part and then evaluate. Did that actually work? Let's mm-hmm. do the next part and evaluate. Don't go all the way to the end and realize that you're not getting the results that you want, because then you have to start all the way at the beginning. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I was, had 12 supervisors and we had 300 people that it was, we said, okay, do this. Mm-hmm. And somebody that was like really low on the food chain said, if we're calling these people, we could ask them about this too. I'm like, oh my God, that's mm-hmm. that we've just taken two forms and merged them into one, wow. And now we can just do it once. And I think, typically as entrepreneurs, we build this ramshackle organizations, like we have a need, so we create this thing. We have another need, so we create this thing, as opposed to looking at it as something that should flow more seamlessly.
Yeah. And again, difficult to do when you've got 27 balls in the air. I have someone who's got, they run a lot of their stuff is computer based, online, whatever. And they just started doing Loom type screen captures and videos as they're doing what they're doing anyway. Mm-hmm. And then putting that in a file someplace where an employee can go through it and say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. And in almost every case, the employee goes, well, that'd be easier if you did it this way. Right?
Amazing.
Great. Change it. Right. Make it work.
If you can get out of your way and let your people be their mm-hmm. best, Yep. It is amazing the results that you get. And not only that, I think, and I could be wrong, but I think you have empowered them. And so they are so much more invested in success.
Yeah, absolutely.
That you're building and it will keep growing.
Yeah, well, we hired a while ago. We hired a young woman out of a university program, marketing program, basically said, "Well, we don't know anything about this. That's why we hired you." So for social and digital marketing and things like that. And basically, I'm myself and my business partners, we're a bunch of old farts. So what do we know? So we had I call her a kid. She's not, but her job was to manage us, right? And teach us what we needed to learn to be more effective in this, in the digital space. And it was fantastic. It was great. For her, as her first job coming out of school, to be able to just do things and experiment with things and try things out, because we couldn't tell her what not to do because we didn't know ourselves, was such a growth experience for her. She's since moved on to bigger and better things, and good for her. The ability to allow her to just to play, and use us as her playground, was great for us. It was great for her and for her own growth. So, I mean, and you know, she made mistakes, but almost no mistakes are fatal, right? There's almost nothing you can't recover from. But over, the year and a half or so that she was with us, it was a fantastic experience. And we're a much better company now because of it, right? And I guess the other piece is, yeah, the good folks. So if you let them play, if you give them the opportunity and the room for growth, they'll tend to hang around a while, which is good. The other thing is you can't be afraid of letting people grow out of your organization.
That's true.
Right.
And I hate to do this, but we're growing out of the space of this.
Okay.
I could talk, that I could talk to you forever. So before we do run out of time and other people's patience,
sure.
Tell us about the freebie again that you're going to give us.
Okay. So as I said at the beginning, it's really hard for small firms to grow. And the bad hire can cost you your company. It can be crippling. So what we're offering, the workbook that I mentioned, the work that we had done with some other entrepreneurs, we've put that together into a workbook that a company or an entrepreneur can go through to make sure that that next hire is the right hire based on competencies and cultural fit. And you have a link. It's available for free through our website at workforcestrat.com. And encourage people to come and grab it. And if you're going through that, and if you have questions about it, reach out to me. You've got my email address, give that to them as well. I'll be glad to, jump on a call and walk you through what needs to be done.
I think you're the best. You know that, right? And if you were actually, besides journaling, can you give me just one or two other action steps for them to take?
Journaling is good. The idea of which I learned from our experience with the, through the ACES program, was the implement OKRs, personal and organizational objectives and key results. Because I think that's been critical as well to actually getting things done and making sure you're doing the right things. The only other thing, it kind of life lesson, stay curious, right? we're a learning organization. Learning is a big part of what we do. Growth, continuous lifelong learning is what makes life worth living. Developing people is your primary job as a leader. And so if you stay curious, if you recognize that your role is to make other people better, And make that your leadership and your management approach. And remember that at the end of the day, all of this is supposed to be fun.
Which we forget a lot. So as a curious person, when was the last time you did something new for the first time?
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, I mentioned I took an actual job, which I haven't had since 2000. So in April, I took up like an actual salaried position, which was a real adaptation for me because I haven't been employed other than by myself since, you know, in like almost 25 years now. And so I didn't leave the consulting practice entirely, as I'm doing this. And that's really cool. The other thing I'm doing that's really interesting, new, and it's just starting, I'm launching a personal website, which I'm treating as sort of my laboratory, which is really cool because we're all about the ideas. So this is sort of my working out loud pages based on the stuff that John Stepper promotes through his work. And so this is an idea where I noodle on ideas and things that I'm thinking about and everything else in a public space, open myself up to the criticism and the feedback from my community and from other people who happen to stumble across it, and learn more rapidly through that process. And some of that stuff may wind up influencing the work that we do at Workforce Strategies on the consulting side. Some of it may spool up into the macro stuff that I do at Canada West on the policy side. And some of it's just the looning, you know, mad ravings of a lunatic and won't actually go anywhere. But I'm convinced that website will launch sometime in September. It's in its final stages of being prepared now. I'm convinced that that's going to be the biggest growth experiment that I have ever done in terms of my own personal growth and learning. And so that's going to be an ongoing experiment over the next who knows how long.
Well, you are one of the most creative people and curious people that I've met. I am so glad that you're in my life. And I'm sorry that I can't share more time and more of you with the audience, but we will put, when you get the new website up, we'll put it in the notes. So if you if it isn't there now, come back and check it out. So I need to bring this to a close. I hate to do it, but I would encourage everybody to subscribe and to share and to engage in the podcast on social media. One of the things that has surprised me and pleased me immensely is that I think we're starting to become a community. And I think that's one of the things you need to do to grow. People are making comments, and I hope that you will do this and share it too. And so I hope that, you know, when you join me, you'll find something that's useful to you that will help you be curious and look at something else. And we can embark on this journey together. We can all grow our visions to be bolder and have monumental transformations, because that's what we're here to do, is to transform the world and our lives. And for me, it has been a wonderful way to spend time with wonderful people with wonderful ideas, and I am very happy to share them with you. So if you had any last words to give people, what would they be? You've given many.
Well, I mean, I said, stay curious. Recognize that your value to the world is immense, and the value that you provide is reflected in the what you give to other people as opposed to what you take from other people. And as a leader, as a manager, as an entrepreneur, as a business, it's our job to make the world a better place. So
bravo. So I always leave you with my last words, that change can be simple, but it's not always easy. And it no. sometimes it requires courage and resilience and a willingness to be uncomfortable. And so I hope you will continue to join me for One Small Change. And I will see you on the next episode. Thank you so much, Jeff. Thank you for
Thanks for having
your gift and your time and your thoughts.